experience a full mind, body, and spirit approach to living your best life. Learn how to achieve optimal health, wealth, and happiness. This is your journey to wellness and abundance. You are listening to Mind Over Matters with your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen of the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness.
Hey everyone, hello and welcome to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris Nguyen. As you know, I'm a double board certified integrative and interventional clinical psychologist with a postgraduate specialization in functional health and wellness. I'm also a certified wellness instructor, best-selling author and speaker, and the director for the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness. As you know, the purpose of this show is to get you thinking about how powerful your mind is and what you can do right now to change your life for the better. So this show, Mind Over Matters, will challenge you to think differently about how your physical health can be improved, the health of your relationships, your level of day-to-day happiness, even your financial health can be dramatically improved by taking a more holistic approach to your life. So my goal is to educate and empower you to live a life by design, a life on purpose and with passion and with positive results. So welcome to the show. I want to start by asking, do you struggle with money? I'll confess to you that I have certainly had those experiences. You know, maybe you don't make enough of it to meet your needs comfortably. Maybe you make more than enough, but never seem to be able to keep it. I know, you know, in my practice, I've worked with many clients and patients that make more than enough money to live comfortably, and in fact would be defined as wealthy, but never seem to be able to keep it. They're always broke or struggling. You know, if you're like most people, again, including myself, you probably know what it's like to be anxious about money. Just think back to your early experiences with money. You know, were those experiences fear-based? I know a lot of mine were. You know, maybe your parents never seemed to have had enough. But for most of us, the messages and experiences we've had around money carry with us throughout the rest of our lives and are continually shaping how we think, how we feel, and how we manage or maybe mismanage money. So on today's show, I'll share with you what author Jesse Scholl has to say about, quote, mindful money. The article actually appeared in the March 2018 edition of Experience Life magazine. But I think it's especially timely now, as so many people may still be struggling with financial issues, again, now more than ever. So the author shares with us, quote, how to move beyond fear-based financial habits to find true prosperity. So welcome to Mind Your Money. So I just wanted to kind of set the stage. You know, I often, you know, will speak, you know, nationally about many topics, but financial prosperity is one of those that is very near and dear to my heart. So, you know, many of you don't know some of my early experiences. You know, I would invite you to actually check out our YouTube page. Actually, my first presentation at Harvard was actually about my early experiences with poverty and being able to move from a poverty to a prosperity mindset, and how, you know, we coach our clients to be able to do the same thing. But one of the things I shared at that presentation, and then I've certainly shared with many audiences, is my earlier experiences with struggle. I was the youngest of 10 kids. My mom, before I was born, was left. You know, our father had left us. And she had 9 kids, and certainly I was on the way. So here is a situation where my mom was, you know, she dropped out of high school because she got pregnant and married pretty early on. And all of a sudden, never having worked outside of the home, she's left with 9 kids on her own. Never, ever, you know, had any job experience. And, you know, our father left with no forwarding address, you know, no contact information and no money. And she, you know, all of a sudden found herself in a situation where she's having to, you know, care for a brood of 10 kids and not knowing, you know, up from down. And, you know, my mom ended up working multiple jobs. My older siblings helped with the childcare as best they could. But, you know, for many, many years, even throughout my late high school years, we struggled with periods of poverty. You know, there were times when, you know, it was just a matter of, you know, weeks before we were going to be evicted. And although my mom did the best she could, trying to continually improve herself, always focused on personal growth and development. I mean, you know, she really was my first hero. And, you know, as she, you know, struggled to get educated and create, you know, more prosperity for the family, you know, she ultimately found a job in sales. And if you've ever been in sales, you know, that there can be periods of feast and famine. So even well into high school and early college, you know, there were periods where, you know, we were getting our food from the food pantry, you know, the electric was turned off. You know, I can remember as a kid. Having to take, you know, a bath with a couple of my siblings and having to, you know, heat up water on the stove, you know, to create a bath. So those early experiences have stuck with me. In fact, you know, I will tell you that I still find myself getting trapped in fear-based thinking about money. And so that was one thing that I learned early on is, at least for me, education represented a way out of poverty. Based on, you know, my experiences growing up. And but that has also been a driving force because, you know, those experiences are something I never, ever, ever want to go back to. You know, it's just, you know, when people lay awake at night wondering how they're going to make ends meet, talk about a setup for depression and anxiety as well as other stress-related health issues, it's a terrible place to be. So for me, money is a motivator. You know, I don't, you know, subscribe to a mindset of greed by any means, but I realize, you know, I want to put myself in a position where financially I'm comfortable and I never, ever have to worry. Although I still find myself worrying, you know, is it enough? Will I have enough to retire? Will I have enough to do the things that, you know, are important to me or are important to my family? Will I have enough to continue to make charitable contributions or give scholarships or, you know, support other worthy causes? Because those early experiences imprint into our subconscious mind. And 90% of the time, it's our subconscious or unconscious mind that influences, you know, our day-to-day thinking. You know, if we think about our conscious mind and unconscious mind as kind of an iceberg, the tip of the iceberg that is above the water, that represents 10%. That's our conscious awareness. 90% of that iceberg is below the water, and that can represent our subconscious or unconscious mind. And believe it or not, as I said, 90% of our daily thoughts, feelings, and actions are driven by our subconscious or our unconscious mind. So if we're, you know, someone that's had these, you know, experiences with lack and scarcity, especially in times of stress, it is highly likely, more likely than not, that those thoughts are going to, you know, creep into your conscious awareness and start, you know, some anxiety or fear-based thinking. So the author, Jesse Scholl, again, this appeared in the March 2018 issue of Experience Life magazine. And if you're not familiar with Experience Life magazine, I highly encourage you to subscribe. It is one of the best resources I have found for, you know, creating a healthy lifestyle. But the author talks about how to move beyond fear-based financial habits and to find true prosperity. And as we'll you know, learn later on in the show, true prosperity doesn't have to mean, you know, wealth, exorbitant wealth, or, you know, it doesn't mean, you know, moving from a lack and scarcity mindset into a greed mindset, not at all. It really is about how we learn to improve our relationship with money. And if you think about it, we all have a relationship with money. It can be an unhealthy relationship if you mismanage it. It can be a healthy relationship if you respect it for, you know, the tool that it is. You know, you can have a mixed relationship with money. Sometimes you're good managing it. Sometimes you mismanage it. But I really want to invite you now to start thinking about what your relationship is with money. Is it a fear-based relationship? You know, is it becoming more and more of a healthy relationship where you see money as a universal tool that could do more good? Okay. And, you know, we've all heard the messages, you know, money is the root of all evil. You know, we can't afford that, or, you know, those kind of lack and scarcity messages. Rich people are greedy. You know, we've heard them all. So what I want to do is put you in a position where you can examine your money mindset and then start coming from a place of true power. So I'm excited to be able to share with this article with you, again, titled Mindful Money by Jesse Scholl. So stick around. When we come back, we're going to dive right into it, and I'll equip you with how to create prosperity.
The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damaged tissue, restoring normal function.
The procedures were easy, comfortable, and left me feeling pain-free. I can dance, run, and jump again if I want to.
3 decades of pain in my back and neck injuries I suffered in active duty. The doctor has me nearly 100% pain-free now, and I never thought that was possible.
Trust the thousands who got their life back. Book an appointment today.
A complete solution for your joint pain is here, and without surgery. The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damage, restoring normal function, even walk out the same day. It's the only treatment center in Illinois offering a 1-year guarantee for this procedure. Trust the thousands of patients who got their life back. Call us today or visit thecifhw.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. You're listening to our show today titled Mind Your Money. If you missed any of the show, you can check out a rebroadcast on this great station, or you can check us out online at www.thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. You can also check us out on Facebook. It's facebook.com/thecifhw. We try to post all of the shows up on our Facebook page as well. And speaking of Facebook, I want to invite you to tune in to my weekday Facebook Live. I'm giving tips, tricks, strategies, insights, really information to equip you on a day-to-day basis, practical information to equip you to start living a better life, a life of, you know, positive experiences, prosperity, those kind of things. So again, invite you to tune in. Also want to invite you to register for our upcoming wellness webinars. They are Facebook Live webinars. We were talking everything from resolving mental health issues, cognitive decline, talk about reversing thyroid disorders, how to manage stress hormones and the impact on your immune system. I've given one of my new favorites is on regenerative medicine. Certainly, you know, I want to put you in a position of better understanding what transcranial magnetic stimulation is and what it isn't. So definitely check out our wellness webinars on our Facebook Live. They're every Thursday at 6 p.m. And then finally, I want to remind you to check out TI22Nutrition.com for all your plant-based supplement needs for stronger minds and stronger bodies. TI22 is actually the symbol for titanium. So go ahead and experience the profound healing effects of combined supplementation. They're also proud to offer some of the best CBD for energy and relaxation. It's pure, potent, highly bioavailable, and extremely effective for improved mental, physical, and emotional functioning. And I'll tell you, I've used TI22Nutrition.com CBD formula for relaxation. It is fantastic. Our clients and patients, they rave about it. So check that out. And then finally, do yourself and your family a solid. You know, get tested for COVID if you're experiencing any symptoms. I'm really, really happy that more and more people are getting vaccinated, but it doesn't prevent us from contracting COVID or spreading COVID. So if you experience symptoms, check out COVIDTestingResultsFast.com. Again, COVIDTestingResultsFast.com. They offer rapid testing, PCR testing, and our office offers PCR testing for multiple strains. And that testing is, you know, no cost to you. So COVIDTestingResultsFast.com. So back at it. Let's talk about mindful money, or the money in your mind. And, you know, it reminds me of that old song, you know, mind on your money and my money on my mind. But here's the thing. Most people grew up with struggle, some sort of financial struggle, right? And most Americans, most people around the world still deal with financial struggle. And if people tell you that money's not important, they're lying. They're either lying or they're broke and they don't want to admit it, okay? Because here's the thing, money is at the root of everything. What do I mean by that? Well, we need to pay for food, we need to pay for clothing, we need to pay for housing, we need to pay for transportation, we need to pay for healthcare costs, those kind of things. So the truth is, the more money we have, the more options we have, the more opportunity we have, more reliable transportation, better education for our kids, healthier foods. So money is like the hub of a wheel. Everything in your life is affected by money and your health. And let's face it, if you've got health issues, you need a lot of money to deal with those copays, those prescriptions, those kind of things. So again, beware if somebody tells you money's not important, because it absolutely is. And it's important no matter how much you have or how much you don't have. So the author starts by saying it's easy to go on autopilot when it comes to managing money. I don't know about that. He says, you might toss bills into a drawer, shop mindlessly online, or pay for dinner with a credit card when your bank balance is too low. Maybe you leave the finances to your partner and then feel clueless about how much money you really have. Or perhaps you have a good income, but refuse to buy a decent winter coat or donate to a single charity because you fear going broke. I will tell you, at our practice, countless patients that we have, you know, both therapy clients as well as, you know, coaching clients that come to us with money issues. You know, I'm reminded of a young woman I just saw a week ago. She's in her early 30s, and she's got an online shopping addiction. Unfortunately, she's on a fixed income, so her parents are continually having to bail her out. So not only is it creating financial distress on this young woman, but her parents, who are retirement age, are finding themselves financially burned as well. Okay, so, you know, this is something that, you know, really hits home for a lot of people. The author goes on to say, these behaviors are clearly self-defeating, yet they're legitimate reasons, there are legitimate reasons that we act this way. One is confusion. Quote, it's impossible to understand something that we never talk about, end quote, says financial educator Kate Northrup. She's the author of Money, A Love Story. She says, there's so much secrecy about money from the very beginning of our lives. Most children have no idea how much money their parents make. We're kept in the dark and not taught how to handle our finances. And I'm just going to say, our schools do a lousy job of that as well. You know, I remember when I was in high school, we got a consumer education class. It taught us basically about how to balance a checkbook. It didn't talk about financial management or mismanagement, how to avoid falling in financial traps, what's the value of, you know, the time value of money or compound interest. So, nationally, our education system does a woefully poor job of financial literacy. The author goes on to say, financial illiteracy isn't the only reason we behave unconsciously. Our consumer culture is characterized by scarcity mentality too, which is so frightening it can shut down rational thought. This view holds that there's not enough for everyone and more is always better. You know, how many times, I want to say here, how many times, you know, when you see an advertisement, it's like, hurry, supplies won't last. You know, the scarcity mindset is one of the best ways to get people to act and spend money unconsciously. Only 10 left, hurry, this sale won't last. Or the offer is only good through Tuesday, right? So advertisers, you know, marketers, sales people, they know how to appeal to that scarcity mindset. It's very, very powerful. So again, the author says, and when we're motivated by scarcity and its attendant emotions of fear and shame, we can quickly develop habits of avoidance, financial avoidance. Yet it is possible to move from a scarcity mindset to a more conscious, calm, and generous one. The key to this shift involves moving from a mindset of, quote, you or me, to one of, quote, you and me, explains Lynn Twist. She's the founder of the Soul of Money Institute. The author says, when we expand our thinking to include the common good as well as our own well-being, we experience the true meaning of prosperity, the feeling that we finally have enough. So the author says the following three steps can help us move away from a scarcity mentality and cultivate more satisfying financial lives. Now, so, you know, I want to get you thinking, again, as I said at the opening of the show, what were your early experiences? And do you fall into this scarcity trap as our common culture would, you know, continually set for us? It's like, there's not enough. Or, you know, here's another one that we see a lot in the practice. It's like, you know, easy come, easy go. Well, you know, you never know if you're going to live tomorrow, so I might as well spend it today, right? So many financial traps based on the mindset of lack and scarcity. But when you truly understand and you start to bring into your conscious awareness what those money messages are and start to identify those fear-based thinking distortions, and really we call them cognitive distortions, now you put yourself in the driver's seat of understanding, you know, how money motivates you and how to begin to look at money from a different perspective and learning how to create, you know, a prosperity mindset. Again, that's one of our specialties here with our coaching clients. When you understand, you know, what a prosperity mindset is, it's not about greed. It's not about, you know, ripping people off. It's not about, you know, being, exceedingly wealthy. It's about coming from a place of personal power. It's about coming from a place of generosity. It's about knowing that you have enough and that you can always create enough. So again, I want to get you thinking about that. When we come back from the break, we'll dive right in and learn what these three strategies are all about. Again, I want to help you live your best life, and that means moving from poverty into prosperity.
Do you or a loved one suffer from depression and medications just aren't working, or the debilitating side effects associated with most antidepressants make them impossible to take? We can help. At the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness, we offer transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. TMS is a safe and effective, drug-free treatment option that can dramatically improve your quality of life. In fact, the majority of our clients experience a significant improvement in mood, with many achieving complete remission. TMS uses MRI technology to gently stimulate areas of the brain that are underactive in people suffering from depression. TMS is FDA approved for the treatment of depression and has also been shown to be effective in treating other mood disorders like OCD, PTSD, and anxiety. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance companies, including Medicare. If medications aren't working for you now, chances are they never will. Let us help. Call the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness at 630-980-1400 for an immediate consultation. That's 630-980-1400. Or visit us online at thecifhw.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen. You're listening to our show today titled Mind Your Money. If you're someone that struggles with money, as I certainly have in the past, I think you're going to be able to relate to a lot of what we talked about on the show. You know, think back to your early experiences with money. Were those fear-based? Were they prosperity-based? You know, maybe your parents always struggled, and now you're finding yourself in that same struggle of poverty versus prosperity. So I'm sharing an article that appeared in the March 2018 edition of Experience Life magazine by author Jesse Scholl. If you missed any of the show, I highly want to encourage you to check out a rebroadcast on this great station, or you can check us out online at thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. And we always post our radio shows on our Facebook page as well. So it's just facebook.com/thecifhw. What we want to do on today's show is, you know, share with you how to move from a poverty into a prosperity mindset, as I like to call it. So, you know, the article actually is titled Mindful Money, but it's really about learning to mind your money. As I said, become consciously aware of those experiences and those messages that have been operating for most people unconsciously in their day-to-day financial lives. Okay, so let's dive right in. The author is talking about three strategies, you know, that can, you know, help move us away from a scarcity mentality and help us develop a more satisfying, you know, a mindset of prosperity. So number one, the author says, learn what enough feels like. Quote, some of us have a scarcity mentality because we experienced scarcity, says Brent Kessel, author of It's Not About the Money. He's also the CEO of Abacus Wealth Partners. Quote, we saw our parents having scarcity, or we ourselves went through it. It's a terrifying feeling to not have enough money and be worried. Question, will I be able to eat? Will I be kicked out of my apartment? You know, a common mindset for most women is the bag lady mindset. I don't know if you've ever heard that expression, but it's about, you know, worrying about moving into your older years, your senior years, and not having enough and becoming a bag lady. And you'd be surprised how many women fall into this trap. You know, I've even wondered it on occasions, like, am I going to have enough? You know, I saw my mom struggle well into her senior years, and myself, as well as many of my siblings, you know, would help augment, you know, her means every month, just so she wouldn't have to continually struggle. So the author goes on to say, there's a difference between genuine scarcity and the scarcity mentality that fuels consumer culture. Scarcity mentality is a zero-sum game. It presumes there are only so many slices of pie to go around, and argues that we should grab as many pieces as possible. So if you think about it, the marketing, our culture, actually sets us up, you know, to go into a greed mindset. And if we think about the financial markets are run on greed and fear, right? Greed, you know, I want to get in on it, you know, while it's going up and, you know, make $1 million, or, you know, people who short the market. That's what the financial markets are based on, greed and fear. And so we see this, it's deep in our culture, and it's been deep in our culture since the time we were trading fish. Okay. So the author goes on to say, you know, again, it presumes there are only so many slices of pie that go around. If that means someone else gets no pie, then so be it. So it sets us up for fear and greed. Okay. The author goes on to say this mode of thinking can affect virtually all aspects of our lives, and it has almost nothing to do with how much money we have. And I'll say that is true. I can't tell you how many couples I've worked with in my practice that divorce because of money and stay married because of money. Now, that may sound like a contradiction, but let me tell you what I mean by that. Most people will stay in a bad marriage because of their financial fears. And financial issues are actually what drive most couples to get divorced. Not even Kenya. So it really goes deep to our survival needs, okay? So the author goes on to say, again, this mode of thinking can affect virtually all aspects of our lives, and it has nothing to do with how much money we have. People with modest means can feel perfectly satisfied, while those with abundant wealth might behave as if they were living paycheck to paycheck. I have seen a lot of clients in my practice, both, you know, therapy clients as well as coaching clients, clients that make $500,000, $1 million, $2 million a year and are always broke because they can't break that mindset. So the author goes on to say in her book, The Soul of Money, Transforming Your Relationship with Money and Life, author Twist describes the scarcity mentality as, quote, a chronic sense of inadequacy, end quote, that shapes our sense of self. Scarcity becomes the lens through which we experience life, she writes, and it can lead to a self-fulfilling prophecy of inadequacy, lack, and dissatisfaction. That mindset, says author Northrup, is also at the heart of jealousy, and not simply of material things. Say your friends, you know, they land a great job, and instead of feeling happy, you feel terrible. It's almost as if something has been taken from you. But Northrup believes jealousy can be a key to insight if we don't get caught up in the illusion of being deprived, right? Everybody compares themselves to other people. You know, I still sometimes find myself comparing, you know, myself to people. You know, I've got some very ambitious goals and dreams. I've come a long, long way in my life, and I'm excited and I'm proud about that, but there are still a lot of things I want to accomplish. But sometimes I will find myself getting caught up in the comparison game, comparing myself to, you know, other people that are more successful in their healthcare practice. But I let it be fuel for me. I let it drive me. I remind myself, uh-oh, that's coming from a scarcity mindset. There's no reason to be jealous or envious. But Amy, what the hell are you going to do about it? And I let it drive me to create better services so we have better outcomes, so the practice can flourish, so our patients can flourish. But all of us get caught up in the comparison game. Okay, in fact, try to divorce yourself from the comparison game. The author says comparison is normal, but when you start thinking that if somebody else has something, then you can't have it, it's time to examine those feelings. Because I'm going to tell you, there's more than enough to go around. There's more than enough money. There's more than enough opportunities. You've heard me say that the opportunity bus comes around every 10 minutes. Okay? So it's about realizing, you know, that just because somebody else has something doesn't mean that you can't have it. But if you're feeling jealous or envious, you really need to examine those feelings. And how many of us base our self-worth also on how much we earn, right? We see this all the time. You know, when somebody is basing their self-image, their self-worth on how much they earn, and then all of a sudden they find themselves in a position where maybe they've been laid off, or maybe they've been terminated, or, you know, whatever. Now, not only are they experiencing that financial loss, but they're experiencing a loss of their identity. Okay, so it's a very, very dangerous trap to fall into. The author goes on to say, if you pull back the curtain of jealousy in this instance, you might discover that you'd like to switch jobs yourself. Instead of believing your friend got the last decent job, you might choose to see her success as proof that other cool opportunities are out there and that there is enough to go around. quote, a lot of people think the opposite of scarcity is abundance, like living the lifestyle of the rich and famous, Kessel explains. But the opposite of scarcity is sufficiency, which is just enough. Okay? That perspective of lack is deep and cultural, so shifting it usually requires concrete physical steps, and author Kessel offers these exercises. I just want to say here that one of the things that, you know, I've worked on myself, as I said, is moving from that poverty mindset into prosperity, and that's something we help our clients do all the time. So if you're finding yourself in this situation, if there's any way we can help you, I want to invite you to let us do that. Let us help move you from poverty to prosperity. You know, simply give us a call, 630-980-1400, book an initial consultation. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty of it, okay? Because here's the thing, as long as you lack awareness of the financial mindset traps you fall into, it's going to continue to set you up for real financial struggle. And that has implications both, you know, in the here and now, as well as the near term, the midterm, and the long term. So it's about understanding your money mindset, putting you in a position of coming from a place of power and sufficiency so that you can actually design your own life the way you want it to be. Stick around. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about mindful money.
A complete solution for your joint pain is here, and without surgery. The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damage, restoring normal function, even walk out the same day. It's the only treatment center in Illinois offering a one-year guarantee for this procedure. Trust the thousands of patients who got their life back. Call us today or visit thecifhw.com.
The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damaged tissue, restoring normal function.
The procedures were easy, comfortable, and left me feeling pain-free. I can dance, run, and jump again if I want to.
3 decades of pain in my back and neck injuries I suffered in active duty. The doctor has me nearly 100% pain-free now, and I never thought that was possible.
Trust the thousands who got their life back. Book an appointment today.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I hope you enjoyed that funky beat. I always do. Lady B, you're the best. Hey, so thanks for tuning in to this show. We're talking about Mind Your Money. We're reviewing an article called Mindful Money by author Jesse Scholl that appeared in the March 2018 issue of Experience Life magazine. You know, basically, we want to put you, the author as well as myself, in a position of being empowered as it relates to your money, and moving you from a poverty into a prosperity mindset. So if you missed any of the show, you can check out a rebroadcast on this great station. Certainly, you can check us out online at our website. That's thecifhw.com. Again, thecifhw.com. Check us out on Facebook for our weekday Facebook Live. Actually give a lot of financial tips and tricks there, as well as insights that, again, weekday Facebook Live. I want to put you in a position where you're educated and you can take practical action, okay? And then, of course, I want to invite you to check out our wellness webinars every Thursday at 6 p.m. on Facebook Live. So let's get back in it. We're talking about, you know, creating a mindset that draws your attention to those old limiting beliefs and now puts you in a position of creating new prosperity thinking beliefs. So the author has 3 strategies. The first one is to learn what enough feels like. So the author says, imagine your preferred financial future and journal about it. Maybe you want to be free of worrying about money, or you'd like to be able to afford dinner out a few times a month. Perhaps you'd prefer to work only a certain number of hours per week and have time to visit museums. But define how you want to feel about your financial life and write it down, okay? So I would actually encourage you to make a vision board, right? A vision board is just, you know, you could just take a cardboard and just put, you know, quotes on it or images of the lifestyle that you want to live. And I will tell you, I've been doing my own vision board for many years now, and just about all of it has come to pass. Because when we start to imagine or visualize, or sometimes it's called mind mapping, the life we want to experience, and we keep those images front and center and we start to emotionalize about them, that actually influences our behaviors. And it literally sets us up to start making choices that draw us closer and closer to that, you know, life of sufficiency, that life of abundance. So imagine your preferred financial future and start to journal about it. I'm actually going to encourage you to create a vision board too. Next, look for examples of sufficiency. Our brains seek to confirm our beliefs. It's called confirmation bias, the author says. And when we're caught in a scarcity mindset, we tend to look for proof. We might think, look, there's another person who's struggling. See, there isn't enough money to go around. Instead, try seeking examples of sufficiency instead. Think about that friend who lives comfortably on a smaller paycheck than yours and enjoys more free time. Clean out your closet so you're left only with the clothes you love and donate the rest. Buy a friend a coffee instead of paying separately. These small gestures can help reorient you to sufficiency instead of scarcity and create the potential for greater generosity. You'd be amazed. I think one of my favorite books, it's actually called E-Squared. Okay, the manager of our building where our practice is located actually introduced it to me, E-Squared, and it has some great money exercises, and one of them is every day for 30 days, leave money in a random place with a little post-it note on it that says, you know, I hope your day is blessed when you find this. And just take notice of how you're creating that mindset of abundance and generosity, and then really start to notice how much that abundance and generosity starts to circle back to you. It's a really, really cool book. Again, E-Squared. So when we start, you know, thinking about being more generous, it really does move our mind into a place of sufficiency and having more than enough. Next, the author says, do something in the next 24 hours to cultivate the feeling of sufficiency and move you toward the future you want. Each person's needs will be different, but whatever you choose to do, make it concrete. You might start by giving something away. The author says, financial advisor Kessel stresses the importance of practicing generosity to combat scarcity thinking. Quote, I'm a big believer in generosity as a subliminal message to ourselves that there is enough. Give to the level that makes you pleasure, makes the pleasure-seeking part of you and even the security-seeking part of you a little bit quaky, the author says. For example, if you make $300,000 a year and you're giving away $2,000 a year, that's kind of just a rounding error. You don't really notice it. That's not going to change your mindset. To experience sufficiency in a deeper way, the author suggests giving an amount that would force you to say, wow, that's a little bit hard to write that size of a check, but I want to do it, and I believe in the cause, and I'm fired up about the impact that my gift is going to have. Being generous can make us feel rich, like we have enough to spare, which is the ultimate antidote to the scarcity mindset. I want to share an experience with you. I think it was 2009, 2010. I've been a part of our local Chamber of Commerce for many, many years. They've been a great supporter of the practice. But I remember specifically the president of the chamber came to me and said, Amy, we'd like you to be part of our scholarship fund. And I said, you know, what's that about? Well, every year the Chamber of Commerce gives, you know, academic scholarships to, you know, graduating high school seniors. And, you know, right away I was taken back to, you know, the need to support that, because I put myself through college. I had no idea how I was going to pay for college. I didn't even know how college worked. How do you register? What the heck is financial aid? What's a FAFSA? I knew I wanted to go, but I had no idea how it was going to happen. And so I ultimately put myself through school, through working midnights at UPS and grants, you know, financial need-based grants, scholarships, and loans. And so when she asked me to support, you know, scholarships, I thought, heck yeah. And then all of a sudden, she said, you know, they're $1,000 a piece. And I was in solo practice at the time, and my income was based solely on how many clients I saw, right? A classic self-employment model. And I said, put me down for two. And then right away, my face was flush. I literally found myself getting anxious about committing to donating $2,000. And I thought, what the heck did I just do? Now I'm committed, I'm on the hook. But the part of me resonated with, one, the need for these, you know, students to be able to finance their college, know what it's like to struggle and worry, how the heck am I going to pay for my education? But right at that time, and I had been doing well, but that scarcity mindset popped right in. I thought, okay, Amy, you have to find a way to turn this around and feel really, really good about it. So the author says, you know, put yourself in a position where you're giving enough that it's going to make you uncomfortable and force you to trust that you can always create more, that you can have more than enough. And again, the universe will always support that. You know, there's a, you know, saying givers gain. So as you, you know, teach yourself, train yourself to overcome that anxiety or that greed or that scarcity about money and start to become more generous, and you could be generous in your time, your talent, your treasures, as they say, you're going to find that you actually start drawing more abundance to you. And that's not my opinion. That's just, you know, it's the law of reciprocity. So first thing, break out of that scarcity mindset, stretch yourself a little, and get right in there and try and be generous. Next, don't believe the consumer hype, right? You know, as we come back from commercial break, I want to get more into this because marketing appeals to our unconscious mind, and there's three basic needs. Our survival needs, okay, and they're always marketing the scarcity. Our needs for belonging and affiliation, you know, be like Mike, right? Or everybody's wearing these Adidas tennis shoes, or you got to get your Yeezys because then you're in the cool crowd. So it appeals to our survival needs. It appeals to our needs for belonging and acceptance, and it appeals to our sex needs, you know, our procreation needs, you know, and that actually speaks to how we believe ourselves to be attractive. Are we worthy of being partnered? Because prehistorically, if we weren't in a partnership, we probably weren't going to survive. So marketers are geniuses at appealing to our subconscious needs. And we see that all the time with the consumer hype. So stick around. You're listening to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Newon.
Do you or a loved one suffer from depression and medications just aren't working? Or the debilitating side effects associated with most antidepressants make them impossible to take? We can help. At the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness, we offer transcranial magnetic stimulation, or TMS. TMS is a safe and effective, drug-free treatment option that can dramatically improve your quality of life. In fact, the majority of our clients experience a significant improvement in mood, with many achieving complete remission. TMS uses MRI technology gently stimulate areas of the brain that are underactive in people suffering from depression. TMS is FDA approved for the treatment of depression and has also been shown to be effective in treating other mood disorders like OCD, PTSD, and anxiety. TMS therapy is covered by most insurance companies, including Medicare. If medications aren't working for you now, chances are they never will. Let us help. Call the Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness at 630-980-1400 for an immediate consultation. That's 630-980-1400. Or visit us online at thecifhw.com.
A complete solution for your joint pain is here and without surgery. The Center for Integrative and Functional Health and Wellness's clinically proven treatments repair and regenerate damage, restoring normal function, even walk out the same day. It's the only treatment center in Illinois offering a one-year guarantee for this procedure. Trust the thousands of patients who got their life back. Call us today or visit thecifhw.com.
Welcome back to Mind Over Matters. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Newon. You're listening to our show today titled Mind Your Money. If you're someone that has struggled with money like I have, or if you're still struggling, this show is for you. Please, you know, listen to it again and again. Share it with your friends. Share it with your family. You know, because if you're like most people, again, including myself, you probably know what it's like to be anxious about money. Based on our early experiences, those early, you know, messages about money and, you know, being caught up in our consumer-based hype, it all puts us in a position where we're vulnerable to falling into financial traps and staying financially trapped. So the author, Jesse Scholl, you know, in his article, Mindful Money, tells us what we can do, three simple steps to move from a scarcity mindset into a mindset of sufficiency and prosperity. So let's dive right back in. Number two, don't believe the consumer hype. The author says, every day we're pressured from all directions to buy and consume more than we need, but we don't have to give in, especially when we stay conscious of the messages we're getting. Quote, part of being human is having times when you feel kind of hollow inside, kind of empty, and that's natural, financial advisor Kessel says. But what our money culture has trained us to believe is that if you're feeling kind of empty, something's wrong, and something's wrong with you, and there's a product or a service out there that can take that feeling away. If you just get these sneakers, if you just get this Botox, if you just get these, you know, whatever it is, if you just get this car, if you just get this new purse, right? The author says that belief system is driven by brain chemistry and ingrained by marketing. Okay? We get a rush when we buy something we want. It activates the brain's reward center and triggers a rush of feel-good dopamine. But as the rush recedes, regret and remorse more often roll in, which leads us to make another purchase to avoid discomfort. Experts call this the hedonic treadmill, right? That hedonism mindset, right? We're just trapped in it. I want more. I want more. I want to feel good. Using credit cards instead of cash also triggers unconscious money behaviors, explains financial educator Ruth Hayden, author of Your Money Life. As we become an ever more cashless society, we grow less aware of our spending habits and their consequences. I'm going to tell you right now, when I was studying for my financial licenses, and that's one of the things that set me up to do financial coaching, money coaching with my clients, I was tasked with tracking my spending for 30 days. And within the first 2 to 3 days, my mindset was heightened. I was writing everything down from, you know, $1.28 that I spent on coffee, you know, to a pack of gum, to whatever it was. And it started changing my financial habits right away. But the thing is, when we move into more of a cashless society, there's not that immediate consequence. So I'm going to actually invite you to take out a little money and start paying with cash, because that's going to tell you exactly how much money you have left to spend. But the author goes on to say, people spend more when they're using something that's not cash. When they're using a debit card or credit card, they spend somewhere between 30 and 35% more, and it can go as high as 42% if there's a reward involved, like miles or cash back or a discount at the store. Author Hayden thinks we need to change the way we interact with money itself, and she recommends these tactics. Number one, start saving for retirement right now. What's the old adage? The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago, and the second best time is today. So I agree. If you work for a company that matches a certain level of savings, put away at least that much. Acknowledge that this allows you to take control of your money. Okay. You know, I read something the other day. It was the, you know, the three best ways to manage your money. And there are many good ways. There are many really good ways to manage your money. But the article was talking about allocating 50% of your net income to pay for your needs, right? That's all your bills, your food, your clothing, transportation. 20% of it should go into savings, and then 30% of it should be allocated for discretionary spending. And I would invite you, as I said a moment ago, take that 30% and get cash and budget that, you know, throughout your week or your month or whatever, because that's going to give you the immediate feedback and help prevent you from overspending. So take at least 20% of that, you know, and start saving for retirement. The author also says tuck away a set amount from each paycheck. Even 20 bucks is enough, says author Hayden. Keep this money available so you're consciously choosing not to spend it. This allows you to experience the satisfaction of saving. Then stick to cash instead of plastic whenever possible. Quote, working with cash on a daily basis keeps people very conscious about their money. It's the height of mindfulness and money, and I will absolutely tell you that's true. When I first got together with my partner, she only used her debit card. On occasionally would use her credit card, and I almost always, well, you know, would use cash. Now I use cash about half the time. But she's like, well, why do you always carry cash? I'm like, because it always gives me immediate feedback. It keeps me consciously aware of my spending. And also, it helps me to feel more abundant to always have cash on hand. So stick to cash instead of plastic whenever possible. The author goes on to say, if you're really dying to buy something, Kessel suggests writing down what you think it will do for you. For example, if I go away this weekend and stay in that great hotel on the beach, I'll feel super relaxed with the sun on my skin, and I'll come back rejuvenated and ready to have a productive month. Then, if you make the purchase, check in on the reality afterward. How did it compare to your inner advertising campaign? This is a deeper way of tracking your spending. It's qualitative, not just quantitative. Quote, then you can start to learn from these spending audits and make some better choices. What most of our clients realize is that experiences are much more important than material possessions. Truer words have never been spoken, as they say. Purchases that involve other people also tend to offer more lasting satisfaction, so long as they're not meant to impress or gain approval. Be aware of keeping up with the Joneses, okay? Spending motivated by a desire to give joy, like a surprise gift you know a friend wants but won't buy for herself, or offer relief, a bag of groceries for a neighbor who's strapped, is going to bring more fulfillment. Kessel also notes that the new habits are more likely to stick if they're accompanied by a positive feeling. So when you donate $200 to the victims of a recent hurricane or to a food pantry or a homeless shelter instead of buying new boots, connect with that warm feeling of generosity, bask in it. That, he says, is what's going to generate your desire to do it the next time. And it's the same as when you buy a great new pair of shoes and get that dopamine rush. That warm feeling from being generous is going to make you want to do it again and again. And then finally, number three, let your values be your guide. When we stop buying things to keep up with the Joneses or keep up with the reward-seeking part of our brains, we can make more conscious choices about our spending. And this allows us to start using our money in ways that align with our values, which is where we really hit pay dirt. This isn't as abstract as it sounds, the author says. Animal lovers might gladly spend a little bit more on eggs from chickens raised in sunny yards instead of cramped dark pens. Someone who cares deeply about kids may seek out clothing made by well-paid adults instead of exploited children. A small business owner could commit to supporting other small businesses instead of big box stores. But begin this process by defining your values. Northrop recommends make a list of what matters most to you. Review recent credit card and bank statements to determine which purchases align with your values, okay? It says it might include child welfare, fair wages, environmental stewardship, animal rights. Then do some research on your favorite companies. You may discover they share your core values, which will reinforce your choice to support them. But if you're conducting some, if you're conducting, you know, their business in ways that you don't respect, you can choose to redirect your money to something better. Okay. And again, review credit card and bank statements to determine which purchases align with your value. Then you can measure it, Northrop says. Were 50% of your purchases, were they in alignment with your values? If so, that's good. But the next time, you'll be more conscious of the decisions you're making, and that number will go even higher. So making conscious value-based decisions about who we support with our money can stabilize our own financial situations. And when you stop spending money on things you don't value, you stop having buyer's remorse. And when we begin to break down spending purchase by purchase, company by company, we discover our true spending power. Quote, I really do believe that our spending can become kind of a prayer for what we want in the world, she says. If we put our dollars towards things, and I'm not just talking about donations, but supporting companies that support our values, that's how we'll change the world. And what companies change is dollars. So I want to invite you, again, if you've missed any of this show, if we can help support you in creating a prosperity mindset, call us 630-980-1400. So really think about what you can do to change your money mindset. Okay, so again, just to recap those three things, learn what enough feels like, practice being generous, don't believe the consumer hype that you have to have the latest and greatest, and please start aligning your spending with your values, okay? And then again, just from a practical perspective, allocate 50% for your needs, allocate 20% for your savings, allocate 30% for discretionary. Use cash when you can. Thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Dr. Amy Harris-Nguyen, listening to Mind Over Matters.